Morning, Rav Bosai. Today is the 170th shiur that Rabbi Sharfman has given over 6 years of this series, which is absolutely incredible. An absolute yashar koach to you, Rabbi Sharfman, for your diligence, your dedication to this shiur. It's really appreciated by all of us. And I think most of the people here have been coming to most of those 170 shiurim. So thank you very much, and God willing, we'll start year 7 next year. There's no Shemitah year for this year. I just want to say thank you to Yaakov Seltzer, who is going to be moving to Boca. He's been the person responsible for downloading the shiurim onto the yeshiva website. So during the summer, if you've missed a shiur, you want a chazer shiur, they're available at yttcteam.org/shiurim. Okay.
More should be going up this month.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and as always, welcome to our shiur. I would like just to begin by thanking, first of all, everyone for coming throughout the course of the year. And hopefully it's been a source of growth in the knowledge of Torah and Halacha. And starting off the week learning is a very, very important thing to do. And I think it, as Hashem, sets the tone for everything that follows. I would like to thank Rav Harvey Lichtman for everything that he does to make this year possible, together with the able assistance of Rav Eliezer Friedman. And in absentia, I would also like to thank Yechiel Batnik, a member of our Beis Medrash, who with great dedication made the sheets this year, prepared the sheets under a great deal of pressure every single week. And as always, I would also like to thank my wife and my kids for allowing me to be sequestered for Matzah Shabbos throughout the year, a time that typically would be spent with one's family, to be able to prepare, to be able to give an appropriate share. The final topic that I'd like to cover this year is something which is loosely connected to yesterday's parasha. We find that the Torah says that in the aftermath of the rebellion of Korach and the demise of Korach and all of his supporters, so it says that the staff of Aaron was planted into the ground, and the Torah tells us, "V'hinei parach mate Aaron," that the rod of Aaron blossomed forth. So I thought that, being that we've covered pretty much every other topic in Parshas Korach over the years, that we would speak about things that sprout and blossom on Shabbos, and namely the inyanim involved in flowers and plants. But in order to do that, I think that we really have to get an understanding of one of the 39 malachas which people are familiar with, but we don't know exactly all the ins and outs, and that is the malacha of Zoreya. Zoreya does not mean to... Zoreya means to either... The way it's translated literally is sewing, not sewing like with a needle and thread, but S-O-W-I-N-G. And the... basically, what that means is some form of planting seeds in the ground, or watering seeds that are put in the ground, or watering the ground, even if there's already been, the seeds are already in. Okay, the basic concept as put forth in the Sefer, the excellent Sefer of Rabbi David Ribiat, is that anything that either initiates or promotes plant growth on Shabbos is included in the Malacha of Zoreya. Okay, so we all have, you know, the situation that comes up on Shabbos, right? It's Minig Yisrael, people buy flowers for Shabbos and so forth, and, you know, sometimes it happens, you forget to put the flowers in water, or it could happen sometimes that the flowers fall out of the water. So I'd like to discuss some things about that, but in order to get the background of this, we have to start from understanding this malacha. In other words, from the 39 malachas, this is the one that is pertinent to this topic. Now, where did this come up in the Mishkan? So there is a machlokas, there is a difference of opinion amongst the Rishonim, and actually in this case the Gaonim, as far as where in the Mishkan this happened. Okay, according to Rashi, which is seems to be the consensus opinion, there was a need for dyes in the Mishkan in order to dye the various curtains the colors they needed to be in the Big Day Kahuna and so forth. So they needed to have dyes, and as we spoke about last week when we spoke about Tcheles, so the dyes generally were derived from plants. So it involved planting. Okay, that is the opinion of Rashi, that it was needed for the dyes of the Mishkan. The opinion of Rav Haigon, which is quoted in the Rishonim, is that it was needed in order to be able to generate the bread that was used for the Lechem Haponim. Okay, that for the show bread, one of the items that was central to the Mishkan and eventually to the Beis HaMikdash was that there was Lechem Haponim on the Shulchan of the Mishkan. So in order to get that, they had to plant in order to get the materials needed to bake this bread. Now there is no machlokas in halacha, there is no nafkamina halacha, which opinion you follow, that either way you end up in the same place. But what's interesting to note is that in case you ever wonder about this, you say, well, how is that possible? The Mishkan, the beginning of all this was in the Midbar, in the desert nothing grew. So the answer is that apparently, miraculously, when they planted for the Mishkan, things did grow. In other words, that's based on a statement that we find in the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, that the Gemara says that when the Malachas were commanded to the Klal Yisrael for the generations, so it was based, as we know, on what took place in the Mishkan. So the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos has the quotation that Heim Zaru V'atem Lo Sizru, that they, in the desert, they planted, but you, for all generations, should not plant. Meaning that they needed to plant for the Mishkan, and in turn, because that was central to the Mishkan, therefore that becomes one of the prohibited activities on Shabbos. Heim Zaru V'atem Lo Sizru. So apparently there was a miracle, a miraculous occurrence that the ground became fertile, but this is what took place in the Mishkan, and thus we have the Isser of the Malacha of Zoreah. Now, this pertains to us in a lot of ways. It pertains to us in a lot of ways, particularly in a situation where a person wants to eat outdoors, right? Which is not an uncommon thing. If you live in a climate that's nice, sometimes you want to eat outside, and as we'll soon see, obviously during the week of Sukkot, a person has to eat outside, and the question is going to come up that does this raise any issue, and are there any precautions that need to be taken? So we begin here with the Shulchan Aruch on page 2. If you turn over the first sheet. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Simen Shin Lamed Vav Sif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that Yesh Li Zoyer Mi Lahashlich Zroyim B'mokom Yeridas G'shamim, that a person should be careful not to throw seeds or pits in a place where it rains, Shesofan Lahatzmiach, because of the fact that it eventually will blossom. And therefore that would involve the Malacha of Zoreah. So a person has to be careful about that. Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, "V'miyashlich l'tayna golem," if a person is feeding his chickens or whatever, so, and he wants to throw some seeds out for them to eat, so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Lo yashlich el kashir sheyochu bo bayom ol yomayim," that you can only give the amount that's typical for them to eat. In other words, a person has to feed his chickens every single day of the week, including Shabbos, but you have to be careful. Don't just throw an enormous amount. Throw the amount that's typically eaten. If you do that, so then you could assume that, okay, probably they ate it up and there's no issue of Zoreah. But otherwise, a person has to be careful. And then finally, the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'him b'makom drisas ragle adam mutter," but if it's going to be in a place where people commonly walk, then it would be permissible, she'ein sofo litzmoach, because in that situation it's not going to grow. So, we have the idea, something which is relevant to us, the idea that a person has to be careful eating on Shabbos with seeds and pits. So, thus, in a situation where you have a person eating outside some watermelon or some other melon or something like that, so you have to be careful that the pits shouldn't fall onto the ground. Because if they do fall onto the ground, so there's the potential that they could grow. And therefore, this is a consideration that a person has to have. That doesn't mean that you can't do this on Shabbos because of the fact that it's easily avoidable if a person is careful. But nevertheless, you have to have that in mind. This is a very common occurrence in the summer camps where, you know, kids go and on Shabbos afternoon they have some sort of learning group or whatever and they distribute watermelon, a very common thing. So in order for that to happen, it would be inappropriate for a person to allow the pits to fall onto the ground. Okay. Now, similarly, we have, if you turn back to page one, similarly, we have an issue with watering plants, which also would promote the growth of the plant, and that is something which is probably harder to defend against if you're eating outside over grass, because of the fact that a person has a drink, and you maybe have, you know, whatever, various liquids on the table, a person maybe want to wash his hands, if people bring my macaronim, or whatever it is to the table, and here you could really, you know, there could be an issue if a person is not careful. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Gimel, which is three lines from the top of page one, he says, Mutar Leilech Al Gabei Asovim, it is permissible for a person to go, to walk on grass on Shabbos, first of all. In other words, that's a question sometimes people have. How are you allowed to walk on the grass? Maybe you're going to rip out grass. So the answer is that that's permissible because Kivin Ben Lachem Ben Yiveshim, whether the grass is wet or more or dry, because of the fact that you're not intending to rip out the grass, as we mentioned in the past, there is a basic concept in the laws of Shabbos that an unintended result is permissible to do. A person is permitted to engage in an activity that might create an unintended result, even though that result would be Chilul Shabbos, but since it's unintended, that's what's called Davar She'eino Mischaven, and that is Mutter. The exception to that, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, would be when it's a psik ratio, when it is certain to happen, where it's a certain the unintended result is guaranteed to happen, so then you have an issue, but that's not the case when you walk on grass. So therefore, this is in general, there is no reason for a person to avoid walking on grass on Shabbos, and even should it happen that a person in the course of walking on the grass rips out some, that's not a problem. Okay, however, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, Avo ha'ochlin beginos, but a person who is eating in a garden, asurim lito yideyam al asavim, those who eat outside in gardens or grassy areas, are prohibited from washing their hands over the grass. Why? Shemashkimosam. Because you are, in turn, watering the grass. By doing that, afo pi she'eino mechavnim. Even though you'll say, but that's not my intention, I'm just washing my hands. So it happens to be the water falls on the ground. So what? But that's not what I'm doing for a mitzvah. I'm tils gedayim. Right? So here the Shulchan Aruch says, as we just mentioned, psik reishu. Right, that this would be considered a psik ratio. This is an inevitable result because pouring water is going to cause it to grow. Okay, that is the basic halacha. Okay, thus it would come out that a person who is eating outside really has to be careful, because when it comes to these types of things, you have to just, you know, as they say in the Hof Cup, you have to have a presence of mind to make sure that you don't wash your hands over the grass, that you don't spill things out over the grass. If you're cleaning off the table, don't let the liquid on the table run onto the grass, because of the fact that this is going to be the Malach of Zoreya. Now, for the record, the presumption here is that it's Zoreya, even Min HaTorah, but, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that this would be the Malacha of Zoreya. Now, if we skip a line, the Ramah says on the bottom, V'lochein, therefore, Tov Lahachmir, it is preferable, Shalorecho Beginos, that a person should not eat over grass on Shabbos, if he's going to be using water or any other liquid, says the Ramah, the Bekoshi Yesh, and we turn over, the Bekoshi Yesh Lizor Shulo Yipu Shamayim. Right, this continues on page two. The Ramah says, because it's very difficult to be on top of this. It's very, very difficult to be on top of this if a person is going to sit and eat a meal over grass on Shabbos, and he's going to drink. If you're not drinking, you're just eating a sandwich, there's nothing to worry about. But if a person is going to be drinking along with that, so then the concern is that the water can easily spill onto the grass and you have a problem. So thus, the Ramah says, Yesh lahachmir. This is not an isser, it's not an outright prohibition, but the Ramah says, Tov lahachmir, it is preferable to avoid this. So therefore, it would come out in practical halacha that if a person wanted to have, let's say, a picnic on Shabbos and eat out in the back, So if you really wanted to eat over the grass and it was going to be something that involved drinking, so it would be preferable to spread something out on, let's say, some sort of blanket or whatever it may be in order to prevent this from happening, or perhaps put a plastic underneath in order to prevent this from happening. But if you're eating directly on grass, this is... it could involve a malacha of Zoreya, and the Ramah says that even though you'll say, well, I'll take my chances, you know, I think I could be careful, I'll watch, I'll make sure it's not going to happen, the Ramah says, Tov lahachmir, that it's preferable to be machmir, not to get into this situation. So in order to accommodate the Ramah, it's really better in a situation like that to try to take steps to avoid it. Now, the question would be, so you'll say, so what am I going to do on Sukkot? Right, so sukkahs, I have to eat in a sukkah, and many, many people have the sukkahs on grass. Okay, so what do I have to do? I have to go before sukkahs and mow the lawn and cut off all the grass and fill it up and pave it. It wouldn't even help to cut away the grass because the dirt is there. So the water will fall onto the dirt. There's still seeds in the ground and roots and so forth. So the answer to that is that since the Ramah says that it's tov lahachmer, it's only a chumrah to avoid this, so therefore, when it comes to a makom mitzvah, when it comes to a situation where a person is mechuyev to eat in a sukkah, so then we say, okay, what am I going to do? I have no choice. I have to go into the back and eat in the grass. So I'll do it, and I'll try to be careful. Because it's not an outright issur. If it was an outright issur, then it wouldn't be so simple to navigate this. But because of the fact that it's, the Ramah says that this is a tov lahachmir, right? So therefore it's brought in the contemporary poskim that the minig Yisrael, there is no question that if you go around Klal Yisrael in every city, you'll see people make sukkahs on grass. Not everybody has the ability to put it on pavement, no matter what the circumstances may be, and therefore, in such a situation, so, okay, what could you do? But it would come out, really, that if a person had the ability to avoid that, in other words, it would be better not to do that. It would be better if a person could make their sukkah in a place where there isn't grass, so you'd be better off in this way. But does that mean that you have to make yourself crazy? I don't think so, because the fact is that it's widely practiced. It's like the Gemara says, go see what people do. A lot of times you have to see what the minig is, right? You see what people commonly make sukkahs on grass. So, okay, so you do what you could do. But where it's avoidable, a person should try to avoid it. Yes, sir. It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be. In other words, if you're gonna, because if you're eating even on a table, but the issue is that, you know, something could spill onto the grass and so forth. It's very hard. Even say, well, I'll wash my hands inside. So that's what I think people do. I think people take precautions. They don't wash outside. Right? That's well known. You wash your hands inside. But even in terms of a drink or something like that, yes, it could be that because, you know, you have it in the glass and I'll be careful. It's not such a big deal. But inevitably, we all know that things spill. Right? So, you know, especially you have children at the table and a sukkah very often, you're not sitting at a sturdy dining room table, but rather at a, you know, flimsier portable table, which, you know, one person bangs into it and it shakes and the drinks tips over. So it's inevitable that should happen. Nevertheless, it's brought down that a person is allowed to do this, but care should be given. In other words, you can't just be, you know, you can't ignore it. This is the type of thing. You just have to bear in mind that this should not happen. Now, yes, go ahead.
Why is this not a psik ratio?
Why is it not a psik ratio? Because, well, I guess because of what we were saying. In other words, to pour water, to wash your hands over grass, that's a psik ratio. But to sit at a table and eat and you know, put the food in plates and cups and things like that, so it's not guaranteed something's going to get knocked over. So I guess that in itself is not a psik ratio. Also because of the fact that, you know, that also was unintended. You know, I didn't intend to knock it over, whatever. In other words, the situation is not a full psik ratio, apparently. Now, this comes up in other situations as well. This comes up if a person has some sort of covering over their sukkah, right? As is common, people put, especially here in Miami where it rains frequently on sukkahs, so people have some sort of covering that they put over the sukkah, which presents questions in halacha. in various areas. We discussed once about the concept of OL, of making a, you know, making some sort of covering over an over an area is one of the malachas of Shabbos, and how so that we discussed once there are ways to do it that make it permissible, but a person has to be mindful of that. But what also could happen is that after it rains, so if you have, let's say, a flat covering over your sukkah, so now all the water has gathered on that covering. So now you say, okay, great, it's time to stop raining, it's time to eat in the sukkah, and Baruch Hashem, my sukkah is drip dry because of the fact that we have this wonderful covering over the sukkah, time to open it up, and as soon as you do, swish, right, a whole puddle of water falls onto the ground. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? Because it's the same concept. In other words, now you're bringing the water onto the grass. So the truth of the matter is, there is no great heter for this. This is not a simple thing. But what is, so you'll say, so then what do we accomplish with these coverings? So the heter that's brought is based on a certain opinion that if the ground that you're opening over is saturated with water, in other words, if it just stopped raining, it was a heavy rain, so the ground was saturated already with water, so whatever you're going to add isn't going to make the difference. Because it's already, and as if it just was drizzling, so if that's the case, you probably don't have that much water on top. But the fact is that if it was just drizzling, the ground might not be saturated. So adding water in that situation would be a problem. But if it was a heavy rain, and the ground was already saturated with water, so then to crank it open or whatever you're going to do, you say, well, all the water's going to fly onto the grass, that would be okay. In that type of situation, for various, a combination of factors involved in that would make it that would be permissible to do. But short of that, this is something that a person making a sukkah has to take into consideration. And perhaps that would make the argument to make those coverings more, you know, at an angle, like a teepee type of covering, rather than a flat covering, what they call in Yiddish a schlock, that, you know, you throw over the top of the sukkah, you know, just like a plastic or something like that. Those things, very often, they may be the easiest, you know, if they're not particularly handy, those are the easiest things to put up. But on the other hand, they present a big challenge when it comes to this. So, you know, to wait till it dries up on top is not so simple. So this would be an issue where, this would be an issue. Now, there is another excellent heter for this situation. And that is, and this comes up in other areas as well, that is if the water will not spill directly onto the grass, but if the water will hit pavement first and then roll onto the grass, that's also okay. In other words, so the there are two heterim for this situation. Number one, if the ground is so saturated that the water is not going to matter, which is the case after a heavy rain, because the ground is already soaking wet, so what's going to make a difference if you pour more? Right, number one. Number two, if it's not going to go directly onto the grass, it's brought down based on a combination of factors, it's brought down that this would also be permissible, and thus, and this happens. This happens a lot. Sometimes a person makes a sukkah on a paved area, but there's grass nearby. And therefore you say, well, right under my table is paved. But big deal. If you spill water, the water is going to run and eventually it'll hit the grass. So that already is not such a problem.
Why is there no difference between making a picnic on a table, on the grass?
Right.
And the question before was,
right, no, so I think the chashash is, because the chashash there is that you'll knock over the cup, it'll fall straight onto the grass. In other words, if it's going to be on the table and roll onto the grass, then ain't a chanami. But the truth of the matter is that even this, I don't believe, if you look into the heter, this heter can be found in, as I mentioned before, in the book Halachos of Shabbos, where Rabbi David Ribiad, he brings down this heter, and it seems like it's a little bit, putting things together and relying on certain things, and therefore it's not the best situation, but because of the fact that people putting covers on sukkahs is a very common occurrence, right, so therefore you would have this. Now, again, in the sukkah scenario, you also have the same type of thing. You have folding chairs, right? You have folding chairs, you leave them in the sukkah. So before it rains, you fold up the chair. Or not, whatever. But you come into the sukkah and there's water on the chair. So you can't just brush it off onto the grass. It's the same issue. So again, a person would have to be careful, take a towel or whatever it is, just to be mindful of this. Yes?
You'd be able to look at Pima to wash on a pavement, on a driveway that's going to spill straight into the
grass? It sounds like, from what I understood from that sefer, it doesn't seem like the heter is that something that a person could just, you know, routinely do a chatchila. That's my impression, but you could check. That's my impression. My impression is rather
good. How much of the tzara?
It's hard to know. If what?
You want to drain your pool.
Yes.
Rain or the pool's overflowed all over the place.
And you want to let out water.
You want to open up the spigot, it's going to go out onto the, assuming it's going to go out.
No, that I think is all right. Assuming there's no other chil shabbos involved, I don't know.
Saying, just
In other words, if the ground is soaking wet, then adding water to it doesn't seem to be a big deal. Then it could.
And it's hitting the
water. In other words, if it's totally saturated, pouring more water won't do anything. But it won't do anything for now. By the time it would be relevant, it would dry up already. In other words, you know, at a certain point, you have enough. So that's the heter in that situation. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. No, not in this area. Not when it comes to this. Okay, now, having said this, we come to what was directly the topic of today's shiur, which is putting flowers in water, like the speaker who says after 20 minutes. So now I finished my introduction. Right? So now we come to the topic of today's shiur, which is placing flowers in water. Okay? Now, can a person do this or not? Right? It happens. The husband goes out there, Shabbos, buys his wife nice flowers, and for whatever reason, in the franticness of what took place, they forgot to put the flowers in water. Or what happens, which is, I know it's happened in my house, that somebody banged into the flower vase and flowers fell out that were in the water before Shabbos. And now they fell out. Are you allowed to put them back into the vase or not? So the halacha here is as follows, okay? If a person looks here in, let's see, that would be page 3, okay? Page 3, which is in the same siman, Shulchan Aruch, all of these halachas are found pretty much in this siman, okay? In Sif Yud Aleph, which is 2 lines from the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch section, or it's the top section on the page, 2 lines from the bottom. So one line from the bottom. The Ramah says, Umutar Rahamid Anfe Ilonos B'mayim B'Shabbos. That it is permissible to put branches of trees in water on Shabbos, to place them in water on Shabbos, ubuvad shelo yiyu behem pruchim, as long as they don't have blossoms, meaning that as long as nothing is going to open up on this plant, okay, as long as you have that, so if you turn off the page, he says, the idea being that as long as there are not prachim, as long as we do not have these blossoms that are going to open up. Now, why is this true? So the reason for this is because basically a plant that is detached from the ground can no longer grow. Once it's cut, it can't grow. You can put flowers in water, they're not going to grow anymore. So therefore, any malacha d'oraisa of Zoraya would be nullified, but once it's detached from the ground. However, unless somehow you could replant it somewhere else, but basically, if you cut off flowers and put them in water, they're not growing in the water. However, the Rabbanan prohibited doing an activity that resembles such planting or resembles such watering, and therefore if you have a flower that's going to open up, if you put it in water, it's going to blossom out, so then that you couldn't do on Shabbos, which we'll discuss in a moment. But short of that, a person would be allowed. And as we said, that the Ramah is telling us that a person is allowed to do this as long as you don't have prachim, and the part that's not on the sheet, which I apologize, is v'shoshanim shem niftachim elchukas hamayim. As long as you don't have any blossom that's going to open up from the moisture. As long as you don't have anything that's going to open up from the moisture. So therefore, it would come out like this. In other words, it would seem that if a person had flowers that weren't going to open up at all, if a person had such flowers, so it would seem that you could put them in water even on Shabbos l'chadchila. So it would seem. However, and here I apologize because the sheet here, the same page was copied twice and the one that I needed was not copied. So the Mishnah Berurah here says as follows. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Ramah at the end of this piece cites a halacha which we'll get to in a moment in the laws of lulav. Okay, and he says like this. He says that in the laws of lulav it is clarified, De'enu muta b'shabbos ki'im lahachzir b'mayim sha'amdu bo mikfar b'erev Shabbos. That this does not mean, this dispensation, in other words, if you just took this Ramah at face value, it would come out that, well, if I bought flowers before Shabbos and we forgot to put it in water, so long as those flowers are open, okay, they're, let's say carnations, they're open already, it's not going to open anymore, so you could stick them right into water, or roses that are open, right, a lily which, you know, it tends to open over time, that not, perhaps, but something that's open already, you could put straight into the water. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, but this has to be understood in the context of a different halacha, which we'll get to in a minute, in the laws of lulav, which says that you cannot, that you cannot put it into new water on Shabbos, but rather you can only put it into mayim sha'amdu bo mikvar, only water that had already been in on Erev Shabbos, the lulav hosef old mayim sonanim, and not to add any water. Okay? And he says, therefore, it would come out that this heter is only lahachziran l'solchan, right? That the heter would be to return the flowers to water, but not to put the flowers in water l'chadchila. This is what many people say. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yesh achronim shesovrim, that there are others who hold that actually you could even l'chadchila put the flowers into water, even if they hadn't been in water before Shabbos, but provided that the water was in the vase before Shabbos. Why should that be? Because there's a consideration in the laws of Shabbos which comes up from time to time called tircha, which means that a person is not supposed to bother themselves on Shabbos with things that aren't so necessary. So therefore, for example, we have the concept that we don't wash dishes on Shabbos unless you need them for a further Shabbos meal. In other words, if a person used a couple of plates Friday night, they should use other plates for Shabbos day meal rather than washing the plates that they used Friday night, because of the fact that why should you bother? You have other plates available. Why should you have extra work on Shabbos? So too, we have a concept over here that in a situation where the water could have been prepared before Shabbos, so to go ahead and fill up a vase on Shabbos, the Chazal deemed to be a tircha, and therefore that we don't do, even according to the lenient opinion. So thus, it comes out that there are two opinions. There are those who say, everyone agrees that you could not put flowers in a vase and fill it up with water on Shabbos. That everyone agrees. Right, there is a lenient opinion that says that if the water had been already in the vase before Shabbos, just that you forgot to put the flowers in, that you could do. But the consensus opinion, the opinion that is more followed, is that in such a situation, if they were not actually in the vase before Shabbos, you can't put them into the vase on Shabbos, even if the vase had water in it. However, it would come out that if a flower or several flowers somehow got knocked out of a vase on Shabbos, or a child was playing with it and pulled out, you know, one or two, you say, what are you doing to my roses, right? You picked out a couple of flowers from the pot. The halacha is that assuming it's not going to open up, it's already an opened up rose or flower, whatever it may be, the halacha is you're allowed to put it back even on Shabbos. This is not well known, but this is the fact that a person could take a flower that fell out of a pot on Shabbos and put it back in. You can't add water if a child or an adult, whatever, knocked over the vase and all the water spilled out. That you couldn't do anything about. But if some of the water spilled out, but there's still water in it, that's no problem. You just straighten it up, and you could put the, as long as you still have water in there, and you can put the flowers that fell out back, so long as they don't have blossoms that are still going to open. Yes?
No,
tercha seems in this halacha that the tercha is only to go ahead and open up, to fill it up new. But if it was already had water in it, then that's okay. That seems to be. Yeah, guys, I'm sorry. No, we'll see in a minute. You cannot add water on Shabbos. Yeah.
Something that grows without without flowers, that would be assumed to be also the same thing.
Something that grows.
Stuff that grows in water, bamboo.
Yeah.
I assume that would be also
a
polka, right?
Why? You're saying because it grows? Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome. Yes, correct. Yeah, okay. I'm going to get to right now. So the final, the almost final frontier here.
Is there a mix issue with flowers?
So a mix issue with flowers is like this. As far as flowers go, the halacha is as follows. The muktzah does not, we know that the basic rule of muktzah does not apply to anything that was designated for use on Shabbos. Therefore, flowers that a person purchases on Friday for the purpose of Shabbos, so they're being designated for Shabbos use. I mean, that's what I'm getting them for. I'm buying them. They should be, you know, the decorative items to have in the house. So therefore, they are not muktzah. Flowers are not muktzah. So because you were miyached them for this purpose. You bought them for that purpose. So therefore, to move flowers, if a person has a vase on the table on Shabbos, they want to move the flowers, there's no problem with that. Right? Because of the fact that there's a muktzah in such a thing. Yes?
Are there only two categories, open and closed? Or are there ones that will open first?
That's hard to know. I don't know. Yeah, the Ramah here says, Shleya ben Prochem, you know, I don't know if it's going to open a drama, I don't know if that matters. In other words, it sounds like it has to be like there's a bud or something that's still going to open up, so then it's going to look bad. You put it in the water and now it opened up on Shabbos. It just doesn't look like a good thing to do. Okay, so now this brings us to the question, which particularly in modern times where people have the minhag that on Sukkos to preserve the hadassim and aravos, they put them in water, various techniques that people use. Everyone has their own belief in how the best way to do it is. But the fact of the matter is that people commonly remove the hadassim and aravos on Sukkos and put them in water and put them away. So the question is, can this be done? And if so, how can it be done? So we turn here to the final page, which is page number 5. And we find in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Nun Daled, which is in the Wars of Lulav. So the Shulchan Aruch says that this is a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah. It says, Mikabelos Isha HaLulav Miad Bino Miad Baila, that a woman can receive the Lulav when her husband or her son come home from Shul. It used to be the practice that people kept their lulavim in water. They kept the lulavim in water. So a person could take the lulav on Sukkos, on Yontif, and put it into water, put it back into the water. And not only that, but again, on Yontif, v'tosif alav mayim im tsarech, and even to add more water if necessary. Okay? Ava lo tachlech hamayim. But the water should not be switched. Okay, now this ruling obviously applies only to Yontif, because on Shabbos of Sukkos, a lulav is muktzah. Right? A lulav, because the rabbis banned the use of the abraminim on Shabbos, so therefore the result was that these things became muktzah. They have no use on Shabbos. As such, it comes out that, you know, to put a lulav in water on Shabbos would be unthinkable, because you couldn't even handle the lulav even without the water. So this halacha is speaking strictly when it comes to Yontif. Okay, so this is the halacha that the Shulchan Aruch says, and the reason why, in case you're wondering, why does it speak about a woman receiving the lulav from her husband? Why doesn't it just say a person can directly put the lulav straight into the water? So the answer to that is because of the chiddush here is that even though a woman has no chiv of lulav, right, because the mitzvah seishas man grama, so one might think that for her it doesn't really have a use on Yontif. Nevertheless, she's allowed to carry it because she's allowed to use it for the mitzvah if she chooses to. Right, a woman has the right on Sukkos to shake the lulav and fulfill the mitzvah, even though a woman is not commanded to do that mitzvah because it's a time-oriented positive mitzvah. Nevertheless, that takes it out of the realm of muktzah. Okay, now, the Shulchan Aruch said that you're allowed to even add water in such a situation, but not to switch the water. Okay, and in reality, this is the cooler that we have on Yontif. In other words, on Shabbos itself, you cannot even add water. Shabbos was stricter with this, you can't add water. But on Yontif, a person is allowed to go ahead and a person is allowed to go ahead and switch and be mosif mayim. If water is needed, a person can be mosif mayim on yontif. So therefore, it comes out that in a situation where we have today, which is not exactly the case the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, what we have today is that people come home from shul and take just the hadassim and the aravis, whatever it may be. The way to do it would be to prepare to have them in water going into yontif, meaning people put the, wrap them in a towel or whatever it may be. If you wrap it in a towel and the towel is already saturated with water in advance, then when you come home from shul, you could take the hadassim and aravis and put them back. However, if you have not prepared this in advance, so then when you come home from shul on yontif, you're originating the process. In other words, now you're getting into a situation where you're putting water l'chatchila that you can't do, not on Shabbos, not on yontif. So that would not be acceptable. So therefore, this is a care that a person has to take in the way we do it. And I would add, particularly here in Miami, that sometimes people prepare a towel that they put the hadassim and aravis in, and they prepare it before yontif, and everything is fine, and they come yontif morning, and they're haste to get to shul, they take out the towel, they take out the hadassim and aravis, and they leave the towel out. And they leave the towel out of the refrigerator. By the time they come home from shul several hours later, the towel is dried out completely. Well, if that's the case, then that's not called being mosif mayim. You're not adding water to anything. It's dry now. So in that situation, you just have to be mindful to, you know, put it back in the refrigerator. If you put it back in the fridge, it won't dry out, and then everything will be fine. But this is the basic leniency that we have on Sukkot, but on Shabbos, as I say, it wouldn't be relevant on the Shabbos of Sukkot, but even in general, on Shabbos, you cannot put water in a vase for flowers that was not prepared in advance. Even if it was prepared in advance, the consensus opinion seems to be that you shouldn't originate it, but had it been in and fallen out, then you could replace it. And finally, when we speak about plants, so plants on Shabbos is also an issue. To water a plant is a bigger problem because the plant in dirt is still growing. So it's a worse scenario than you have with flowers. So obviously, you cannot do that. But not only that, but sometimes what happens is a person has a potted plant and gets knocked over on Shabbos. So the dirt falls out of the pot. So what do you do with this dirt? So if you want to just clean it up and throw it out, that's fine. But to put the dirt back in the pot is not allowed on Shabbos or on Yontif because of the fact that that also enhances and promotes in some way the growth of the plant. So this fits in general, again, just in summary, the malacha that's involved here is the malacha of Zoreya. And as we said at the outset, the malacha of Zoreya pertains to anything which initiates or promotes growth of a plant on Shabbos. That is the malacha, how it plays out in various situations. So again, just to summarize, you know, eating outside, a person has to use caution to make sure that it's with pits, with water that falls on top of a chair, to open the chair and all the water is going to go onto the ground. You have to be mindful of these things. When it comes to the sukkah, we said that the heter to open up the covering of the sukkah that falls onto the ground would be either if the ground is already saturated, just finished raining, or in a situation where it will not run directly onto the ground but onto pavement. And finally, when it comes to flowers, so we say that to put flowers in water on Shabbos Chachil, one should not do, even in a situation where the water was there, you just forgot to put it in. But had the flower been in the water and it fell out, you could replace it so long as the flower does not have a bud that's still going to open up. Yashar koach to everyone, and wish everyone a happy and healthy summer.